Amen. There's a person that's saying it in confidence, but now the application must be made. And that's the dilemma with us as believers. We don't like to make application too well. Turn to Matthew 16, verse 19. The message of this is the concept of keys, part 2. Matthew 16, verse 19. Everyone's there? Put your hands up. So that would behoove you, Amber. First book of the New Testament. Huh? Hurry up. We're going to be waiting on you. And you know how I love to pick on people. Amen. Verse 19. We all there? This is the Lord speaking. He says, I will give you the keys to heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Last week we started off with understanding about the basics of keys, and we know that I got a couple keys in here. I've forgotten what they're to. And because I was on vacation, I was not interested enough to go and find out where they go to. I was a little busy. But we understand that God is giving us the keys to the kingdom. Not of the kingdom, to the kingdom. And armed with this truth and knowledge that only the citizens of the kingdom of heaven have the keys, we need to learn what are the right keys for the right job, right application, in order to move into the things of God. Amen? What good is it for me to use my truck key to enter into my house? It will not work. What good is it if I use my house key to try to get into my truck? It will not work, right? And so the idea here is we must learn what these keys are and how to apply them. And so what we're going to do is we're going to continue on with the concept of keys. Turn to Luke, the 8th chapter. If you are armed with the keys, you are armed with a secret knowledge. Right? If I use my house key and I unlock my front door, I have access to everything that is in my house, correct? If you have the keys to the kingdom, the doors are unlocked. Okay? To the citizens of the kingdom, we just need to know what keys to use to unlock the power and authority of heaven that God has designed us from the beginning to have. Amen? We don't need to go in and try to unlock a cupboard with a key that doesn't work, right? We need to use the key that will unlock it to get what we need. Not what we want, what we need in order to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And last week we talked about blessings and how the blessings are to pass through us to others. This is all part of the little secrets of the kingdom. Little keys. Luke 8, verse 10 says, He said, the Lord, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that through seeing they may not see, and through hearing they may not understand. Have you ever read the scriptures and not understood that was being said before you got saved? I did. I read them, I tried to read them, and the more I tried to read them, the more confused I became. I just did not understand. And after I got saved, did the scriptures all of a sudden, even though it wasn't a bunch of clarity, they began to make a little bit of sense. Right? Paul tells us that we should desire the sincere milk of the Word. In other words, you should be reading the Word in order to begin to comprehend what these keys are and how to use these keys, because they're in your hands right now. They're there. All we need to do is learn to exercise some of these keys. And I gave you a key a long time ago, and I keep talking about this key. And this key that I've talked about is faith. You can't get saved without faith, right? It's a free gift. It's not of you. It's through faith in Jesus Christ that I'm saved. And everything that I want to see in the kingdom, I must see by faith. Right? Because seeing is believing, right? No? Believing is seeing. You must believe. You must have faith first before you can see. And the problem is, we as Christians take our key and we put it in our pocket and then we say, God, show me. Then I'll believe. Right? We do that. And we wonder why our lives are sitting in idle. We're getting a car, we're revving the engine. Man, listen to that power. Whoa, man, I got this thing going. We just don't know how to put it into gear because we're not using the key to get this thing to go, right? And we said that there are various types of keys, and we went through all that stuff. But to have the knowledge, have knowledge of secret things, is really what's burning in your heart. You see, Satan wants to put things into your heart that will keep you from the secret things of God. You see, when the priests went behind the veil, it was just them and God. The secret things of God was going to be shared intimately, solely with an individual. The things that God has given to me, I can share with you if I dare to. But you know, one thing I've learned is I'm not going to give you what God has given to me. That would be foolishness on my part. I can impart some of my understanding, and I can impart some of my wisdom. But I am not going to give you what I have set for at the feet of Jesus for. That's for you to do. You have the keys. You must learn to use these keys. And if these keys are not important to you, then what are you doing in the kingdom? It's like standing in the hall and saying, wow, isn't this great? And doing nothing further than getting saved. And that's what Satan wants you to do. Remember I said to you that Satan first wants to keep you ignorant of who you are. He doesn't want you to get saved. Once you figure out who you are and after you're saved, he wants to keep you ignorant of the power and authority that you have. This is where we're moving, church. We're moving into power and authority that God has already ordained for you. But you must begin to start using the keys that he has given to you in order to operate in the power and authority that he has designed and placed within you. Okay? And when you realize how powerful you really are in Jesus Christ, you will not be satisfied with the beggarly things of the world. Because you know what? You are no longer beggars. You are no longer part of the slum fest. You are kings and priests of the Most High God, and you must believe that you are in order to receive what God wants to give to you, or you will be satisfied with paltry things, never progressing in your faith. And that's all it's about. It's about faith. Secret things. What are secret things? Secrets are things that you know that others don't know. Or secret things are things that others know that you don't know. I know a lot of secrets that you don't know. But I'm not going to give you those secrets. But Pastor, you know, I want you to sit down and disciple me. I don't have time. I'm raising up leaders to do that. My time is being invested in other things. It's not that you're not important to me. You are important to me. That's why I'm raising leaders up to help me do the work. But Pastor, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. You're selfish and self-centered. You don't want to use your faith. You don't want to believe that the same God that uses me can use someone else. And so you sit there and you bellyache and you cry and bemoan that things aren't going for you. Or you will insist on having your way. You can insist until the cows come home. Is it going to change the fact that that is not going to happen? It's not. But Pastor, you said, I know I said, and I have lived up to the word. I said that I will disciple you. I didn't say I was going to disciple you personally. You see, there is coming a time for us as we grow and mature that for women, there are other women that are being raised, not Irene, to do the job. Because the job of Irene is now to raise these women up, and they are raising up. The job of mine is to raise up men, to take their positions in the church, to be pillars of the church. Not to coddle you and make you feel good about yourself. That's God's job. We're about something far more bigger than me, myself, and Irene. That's the truth. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. Because our God is in control. What are some of these secret things? Miracles. Wouldn't you like to operate in miracles? Wouldn't you like to see the power of God operating in your lives? Wouldn't you be interested to pray for somebody who doesn't have an arm or a leg or an eye? And by the power of the kingdom of heaven, have limbs restored. But how's that possible? It's a secret thing. It's a secret thing that you and the Holy Spirit will work out together as you plug in to the receptacle of heaven. But Pastor, I'm afraid that that's not faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. And you don't know your God. You must sit at His feet and let Him fill you with His faith. It's not your faith, it's His anyhow. Because He's the one that's going to do it. Walking on water, flying in through the air, being transported from one position to another place, having the blind see, calming storms, trees dying, mountains being moved. These are all miracles that with the rational mind cannot be explained, and you have the keys to operate in these things if you believe. It's totally up to you. These keys are very, very important. In Matthew 14, verses 16 through 21, Jesus gives an illustration of demonstrating this faith. It is where the 5,000 are fed. He asked the disciples, how many people are out there? And he said, oh, Lord, I don't know. He says, well, what do you got to give them? He goes, well, you know, we only got a couple loaves and a few fish. We don't even have enough money to go to town to buy enough bread to feed these guys. And Jesus rebuked them, saying, you of little faith, bring that stuff here and let me show you how it's done. And he demonstrated in feeding the 5,000 how to operate in faith. He thanked God, and it happened. But that's Jesus. No. Jesus in you, the hope of glory. Jesus is in you, waiting to come out. If you don't exercise your faith, you don't have faith. What you have is religion. And religion will keep you shackled from advancing into the things of God like never before. Jesus will put you in a situation to see what you will trust in. Will you trust in the arm of the flesh, or will you trust in the Spirit of God? Those are questions that only you can answer. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And Jesus testing them, he came to understand that in this test, you are seeing your physical position. The physical position will always change. The principles of the kingdom will never change. And so it is important that we begin to underline the importance of moving in faith. It's that important. Well, you know, I need this thing. I need that thing. God needs you to line up. God needs you to show up. God needs you to grow up. God has needs. And your needs are secondary to His, because it says in Matthew 6:33, all these things will be given unto you if we do what? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amber knew that, right? We don't seek because we don't believe. And the unfortunate thing is many today don't want to operate in that. We're blind to spiritual realities and we're ignorant of how it operates. And the secret things of the kingdom are going by the wayside. God's desire for us is to learn to tap into heaven's power and make it an everyday occurrence for us. How come you don't have any joy? The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you have no joy, you're weak. And in times that I'm being tested and all, I just think back what God has delivered me from, where He has taken me to. And all of a sudden, the joy starts to bubble up. It isn't the problems that I'm facing. Because no problem can stand in the face of Jesus. Jesus is solving these problems. I need to learn to trust Him more and more. In 20-some years of walking with Him, I still think I got weak faith. Because there always seems to be a test out of left field coming to stretch me a little bit more. God is not like us. He is incapable of lying. What He says in His Word, He will do. He tells us in Malachi, test me. Prove me. See if I won't do these things. But there is a condition on that test. And what is that test? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Where's your faith? Do you believe that God's going to meet your needs? Then tithe. Your tithing honors the king. The king, when he receives an honor, he is obligated to honor you back. Did you know that? You can't outgive God, but God's not going to just give you something unless you honor Him with your substance. That's why I say I cannot afford not to tithe, not to give my tithe to God. I cannot afford not to honor Him. He has blessed me so richly that my confidence in Him is that, you know, with everything that's going on, I just keep saying, and God will see us through. God will make a way. God has. And I just continuously encourage myself in the Lord, because every time I state those things, God makes a way. God brings us through. It isn't about me. It's about trusting in Him. So I'm continuously about what He wants us to do. Amen? Keys. There are some things we must understand about keys. First of all, keys represent authority. To have a key to something is only half of the piece of the puzzle. You must know what it's used for and utilize it. Without keys to my house or to my vehicle, I cannot utilize the stuff that's in there. I don't have any power. It is impossible for me to do the things that God wants me to have without power. If you don't praise God, you have no power. Because God promises that He inhabits the praises of His people. He dwells with us. And when He dwells with us, it says, in the presence of the Lord, there is joy forevermore. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Do you see how this is beginning to work? Do you begin to see that it is on you to exercise your faith and demonstrate this through the power of prayer, through the power of praise, through the power of faith? But Pastor, you don't understand. You know, I'm so tired. I just can't do it. We're all tired. We're all tired. It's not based on how I feel. It's based on my faith. If my faith is being acquiesced, then I am weak. Do you want power? Do you want authority? Then you must exercise your faith according to what the Scriptures tell us to do. It is that important. Was Jesus powerful? Absolutely. Did He throw away the Scriptures? He said, you guys think that you got eternal salvation in the Scriptures. But they only testify in me. And I don't do anything. I'm going to fulfill every jot and tittle on here, and this word is not going to pass away. I'm going to fulfill it to make it easy for you guys. Did He fulfill it? Absolutely, to the letter. He makes it so easy that all we have to do is believe. It is a key. The key is in your hand. What you do with the key will determine the amount of authority that you have. Keys represent access. Again, if I don't have the right key to get into my house, I do not get into my house. I am not a thief. I'm not going to break into my house. I will have to call a locksmith who has the secret knowledge of making that key to get into that door to let me in. And then I have to pay for that key. Plus his time. And if anyone's ever had a key made, you know that it ain't cheap. Keys represent access. 2 Kings 6:8 through verses 28 through 23 reveals first of all about Elijah and the widow at Zarephath. Or excuse me, it talks about Haziel and Ben-Hadad. Haziel was the servant of Ben-Hadad. And Ben-Hadad was sick. And he said to his servant, take a gift down to the man of God and ask him if I will recover from this sickness. And the scripture says that he took 40 camels of the best things that was in Ben-Hadad's house. 40 camel loads. And he brought it to Elijah. And he says, yo, dude, is the king going to recover? He goes, oh, yeah, sure. He's going to recover. No problem whatsoever. And the prophet started to weep. And he says, why are you weeping? He says, because I know what you're going to do to Israel. He goes, I'm just a servant of the king. And he laid out how he was going to kill the king and become a tyrant and conquer Israel. How would you like to carry that burden? The point I'm stressing is that here was a Gentile king who believed in the prophets of Israel, sent a gift to find out what it was that God was saying. How do you honor God? You don't have faith. You don't have faith, you don't have access to the secret things of God. Keys represent ownership. To possess a king gives one in de facto ownership of the thing that it opens. I own my house because I have a key. I don't own Lou's house because I don't have keys to it. But you give me keys, I own your house. Jesus gave you the keys to His house. And you don't want to go into His house. And the door is open to you. You are owners of everything that He has. It takes faith to get in there. It takes faith to see it. It takes faith to bring it from there and manifest it here. And you could see this ownership deal in Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Keys represent control. 1 Kings 17 through 7 through 16 talks about the miracle of the oil and the flour with the widow. We know the story. Elijah come walking in. It was during the drought. Everything was burning up. There was no food, no nothing. And Elijah walks in and he says to the widow, "Give me something to eat." And she replies, "Oh, I've got an abundance. I've got just enough to make one raisin cake for my son and me, and then we're going to die." And Elijah said to her, "Woman, you make me a cake, and I guarantee the oil and the flour will never run out until God brings rain." She made him a raisin cake. The oil and the flour was there. But then another dilemma came. Her son died in the midst of this. And then she starts bellyaching, complaining. "What is it that you do? You come here to visit my sin?" And Elijah went up, laid on the boy, and his life returned to him. Where's your faith? The key to entry into everything into the kingdom is by faith. Faith, faith. Elijah had faith. He knew his God. He knew that God is the God who redeems. He knows he's the God who restores. He knows he is the God that has power over life and death. And he demonstrated it. Keys represent authorization, or in other words, to act in the name of someone else with their permission. Jesus says, "I give you power over all the works of the devil, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to preach the good news. Anything that you will eat or drink shall not harm you, and you shall speak in other tongues." He's giving you permission to use his name. But what we do is we use his name on these petty things. "God, just heal her in Jesus' name." How about going, "God, release your power and heal everyone in that hospital in Jesus' name, so that you be glorified and they know that there is a God in America that wants to do this thing." That's better than, "Let's just pray for her one more time." And I'm not minimizing it. That's where you start. But God wants so much more. He wants you to expand and exercise your faith. He wants to demonstrate how powerful he is through you. If you believe and operate and use the keys. Keys represent power. To have powers to in my house is to go in and out. Jesus said, "My sheep go in and out. I am the gate." They go in and out. We go into the kingdom. We grab the things that we need. We come back out and we deliver it. Jesus, if you see the keys with Jesus, he spent at times when it was so needed, he spent time all night long praying to the Father for his will to be done. Then Jesus comes back and says, "I do nothing unless the Father shows me. And then I do it. My Father and I are one. I don't do anything unless he shows me first." You got to have eyes of faith to see what God's doing and then move on it and do it and believe. I go back to the time when the Lord spoke to me and we're all lined up here and I didn't even have a chance to lay hands on Nolan, and here he is. He's being propelled back. The power of God was being released. And then it was like, "Nolan's going this way. Everybody else is going this way." It's just a matter of my obedience. I'm no more privileged than you are. I'm not. I just learned a key. And a key is through my faith and my obedience to what he tells me to do, God does stuff. And he'll do the same for you. Because greater works will you do than what he did. Keys represent freedom to operate in freedom. According to Matthew 18, we have the right to bind up or loose. We use the keys to loose all kinds of hardship. We use keys to steal from one another. We use keys to take things that aren't ours. We use keys in such a way that we abuse one another. We need to lock that stuff up and begin to start releasing the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to start releasing gentleness. We need to start releasing words of faith. We need to start releasing words that edify one another. And when we begin to do that, power is emanated from us. The keys of the kingdom have been given to you and to me. It is our responsibility to take a hold of them and to learn where they go so we can unlock heaven's doors. We need to take the keys in such a way that when we take something from heaven, it isn't for our selfishness, it is for the furtherance of His kingdom and to glorify Him. We talk about what is our purpose here. And Ed said so eloquently, it's to save souls. Who did you bring to Jesus Christ in the last month? Who did you bring to Jesus Christ in the last year? Who did you bring to Jesus Christ in the last week? Who are you discipling? What are you discipling? Because you see, what you model is what you're teaching others. And I dare say, you're not teaching them the kingdom of heaven. Because we're selfish, we're self-centered, and we don't want to do the things that God requires of us. The fact of the matter is, you died on a cross with Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is that your life is not yours. The life that you now live, He demands that you live according to His ways and His purposes. You are obligated to the King to change your life. You have a responsibility, and so do I, to live my life in such a way that it glorifies the King. So I have opportunity, and you have opportunity, to share the wondrous things that our God is all about. To learn about the kingdom of God is not enough. To learn and demonstrate the power of the kingdom is what God is all about. Paul said to the Colossians, he says, I didn't come to you with just high, lofty words. I came to you in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. Next week, we're going to finish up with the keys. And what we'll finish up is the characteristics of keys. Church, it's important. The main key that you have is the main key that is supposed to be exercised continuously, and that is your faith. Everyone has been given faith, but not everyone is exercising that faith. And because of it, the kingdom of God suffers for it. I encourage you. Take your faith. What is it that you can believe God for? Believe Him for it and move in that. Don't look at what the world says. Don't look at your situation. Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what He is able to do and believe that. Because He can do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. Far more. You have not been disqualified. What you have done is you've been sitting in the pits too long. You need to put your helmet on, get out there with the rest of the rebel rousers, and start going around and stirring up the kingdom of God by faith and see what God does. Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your word. Father, I thank You for keys. I thank You, God, that You encourage us. Not with keys that are temporal, but You give us keys that are eternal, God, that are far more valuable than what we could ever ask or imagine. God, forgive us for grieving the Holy Spirit. Forgive us, God, for thinking that we know so much when we don't know anything. God, forgive us, but because we're just children learning the things of the kingdom. Holy Spirit, do not depart from us. Holy Spirit, cleanse us. Pour the blood of the Lamb upon us from all unrighteousness, from all selfishness. Help us to begin to exercise the key of faith and begin to unlock the treasure troves of heaven in these last days. God, help us to work in your fields to win souls for your glory. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.